There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this little Friday, Thursday edition of the show. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. I'm only responsible for the first hour. After that, Cam Marston and What's Working Special Edition takes over, and I can't do anything but sit back and watch when that happens. Hey, coming up in a few minutes, our buddy Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, AL Daily News, will join us. A lot to talk about in-state and nationally. Of course, we'll talk about the Bolton book, also the president's event coming up in Tulsa. And where's Governor Ivey been? We'll talk about that. And mask in Montgomery, a whole bunch more coming your way, plus some polling and some spending in the AL1 Republican primary. Those details coming up in just a few. And as we mentioned this morning, it is National Go Fishing Day, which is tough on me because I don't get to go today, but I'll make up for it this weekend. But it's a perfect time to celebrate what we get to go do here, whether you're going to the Farm Pond or the Gulf of Mexico or anywhere in between on this National Go Fishing Day. A launch of a brand new contest here at FM Talk 106.5. We want your pictures, y'all, and my friend Leanna in studio to talk more about what just posted up on her Facebook page. What are we doing here?
We're doing a photo contest.
Oh, that's it. That's right.
So, right.
Yeah. So, okay. So if people will go right now, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, let's talk about these. See the what is it, the announcement there, all the pictures, correct, all that stuff. And if they'll look in the bottom right-hand corner, they'll see the prize. We'll talk about that in a second. But what do they need to do to get involved in the contest?
You need to get together your pictures of fishing. It can be you, your children, you know, it can be new, it can be old. Just post up a picture of your favorite fishing trip. And then encourage your friends and your family to go to our Facebook page and vote by liking the picture.
So it's going to be no more complex than this. I can even understand it, that at the end of... So we're starting this on a Thursday. We'll probably do it on Thursdays or Thursday. Mm-hmm. And so by next week, whichever picture has the most number of likes on it, that's the winner for the week.
Correct.
There's no, like, there it is, y'all. There's no fancy. That it is straight up how many likes a picture gets.
Yes.
Okay, there's one division.
Mm-hmm.
We have not even had, there's not separate divisions. Because these are the questions, Leanna, that come up, right? It'll be, are there different divisions? Is there kids? There's one division.
Right.
It's your fishing pictures. And then the number of likes, well, that'll set the winner.
Yes. So, and everybody will go on and add their picture and like the pictures, and we'll have a prize.
Boom, boom, boom. What? My gosh, they're pouring in right now already. So y'all get them in.
Wonderful.
Here.
Wonderful.
Get your fishing pictures in, and you'll see in the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see a picture of what you win, and that's the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Team Dry Fit shirt. Long sleeve. It's got the logo there. It's got a speckled trout and a red snapper on it. And you win one of those and each week. So we'll be...
Yes.
And this is now through, whenever y'all get tired of it. Right now,
right.
I think it's going to last for a while.
Yes.
So we'll do it every week. Post up. So facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Leanna has, as you can tell on our Facebook page, made a big, big change from Dalton and I scribbling stuff down to actually having an eye for art and the talent to implement it. Looks great. And obviously, people are digging it right now because they're already putting pictures up.
Well, good. And while you're voting, go over and vote for us with the nappies.
This is also the genius behind the picture that has me fighting myself and Dalton. It's Dalton and I against me in that picture. I think it's me against me, and then Dalton's waiting to jump in and throw some punches.
Right, but I have a feeling that both of you will turn and attack Dalton.
So probably a pretty good chance of that.
Y'all team up on him, so I'm worried about him.
And you'll see that picture. That'll take you through to the Vote Nappies page. And favorite radio station, favorite morning show, favorite talk show, favorite sports show. We're in a lot of categories out there because y'all were so kind to nominate us for them. So hopefully you get your votes in each day for the next couple weeks, and we can win one or two of those.
That would be nice.
It would be nice. And we'll see if the Nappies get to have their party or not. That will be the big question. Lanyap party is always a lot of fun. All right, we're coming back. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, joins us. A lot to talk about with him. And then at 1 o'clock, it is Cam Barson and What's Working Special Edition. So that happens at 1. I am not responsible for that show after that. So, I'll be here, but I won't be. I'm kind of responsible. Leanna, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, y'all check it out. Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. And we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean. We'll be talking to our buddy Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News in just one second. I want to say, though, the pictures are popping up on our Facebook post here. It's a contest. So we're doing this weekly, the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Photo Contest. It is National Go Fishing Day. Figure we'd launch it today. You post up your favorite fishing picture. It could be old, could be new. And we'll judge it week to week. So Thursday to Thursday, the number of votes that you get by likes on that picture, well, then we'll, I'll be very simplistically, which is about all I can handle, we'll take the picture that has the most likes, and that person will win one of our dry fit long sleeve FM Talk 106.5 fishing team shirts. It's got the speckled trout and the red snapper on it. They're good shirts. I've been beta testing them for about 3 weeks. I like them, so I want you to win one too. Check out those pictures, which, by the way, I don't know, we may all be related coming from Ireland, but no relation that I know of. Stephen Sullivan over here on the Facebook page. Stephen, that's now my favorite picture. If y'all go down there, it's got a toddler and a speckled trout, and the toddler's not having it. It's my new favorite picture, Stephen. That was fantastic. All right. Y'all say hello to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, checking in from Montgomery. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Good, good. Let's talk about the state of affairs. So do you live in Montgomery proper, like the city limits?
Yeah, I live in Cloverdale.
Okay, so you are now under an executive order to wear a mask, right?
I think it goes into effect tomorrow, but yeah, that's...
So this is your last day. This is like tomorrow would be Ash Wednesday, today is Fat Tuesday. Get out and do all the stuff you want to do without a mask today.
I suppose so. I mean, I have to say, most people are wearing masks. I mean, you go to the grocery store, you go to the gas station. I mean, most people are. But I will say that I have been alarmed, I think, in recent days and weeks, that has kind of decreased. And I think you've kind of seen, I don't know, people getting a little more relaxed. And, of course, I mean, that's just human nature. But Montgomery cases have really spiked up. I mean,
sure.
We've got clearly a problem here. And so, this was pretty dramatic how it all happened, though. There was a proposal before the city council to, put this ordinance in place, effectively mandating that people wear masks in public places where there's more than 10 people. I mean, you can go jogging or, exercise or whatever, but if you're going to the grocery store, you're supposed to wear a mask. And it went before the city council Tuesday night, and they did not pass it. It failed on a tied 4-4 vote. So that was, okay, everybody figured it was done. But the next day, the mayor, Stephen Reed, came out with an executive order mandating this mask policy. Now, that obviously brings up some legal questions as far as his authority to do that. I think he probably does not have that authority, especially since the city council actively, said no. They considered it. It's not like they didn't act. They said no to this plan. Then again, I think if it was up for a vote again, they would absolutely pass it, because the one who voted against it yesterday came out and said, hey, he was wrong, he should have voted for it. So, I mean, it could be legal semantics there, but that's what's happening until somebody challenges in court.
Right, that's why if I'm Mayor Reed and I want this in place, I call the council back again and have them vote on it. You know what I'm saying? I go ahead and say, y'all need to vote on this tomorrow or whatever.
That would make me feel a lot better from a process standpoint. And not everybody's process oriented, right? But I really am.
I think
it's
too.
Really important to just our democracy, our
yes.
our system of government. It's really important. And it's really important to show a good example. Set good precedents. I mean, Mayor Reed hasn't been in office very long. It's really important to set good precedents. So, yeah, I would like to see that. But I think his ultimate point, I don't know if a single ticket will ever be handed out as a result of this policy. He's trying to scare people. He's trying to raise awareness about how serious this is. And clearly, certain parts of the community just aren't taking it seriously enough. I don't think that's any one demographic or anything like that. I think it's just a general, feeling relaxed a little bit more. But as we've seen, I mean, our hospitals are getting really full as far as capacity goes. Our cases are spiking. It's a problem here. We need to wear a mask, but we get the government all to go through the right process in mandating it.
All right. Let's talk more about the state at large going through this. We're at that Safer at Home amended order. It is, maybe you have, you're listening more places, but it sure has seemed quiet from Governor Ivey. I have not heard from Governor Ivey in any way, shape, or form, it seems like, in a week or two, or if not more.
It has. You know, they used to have a weekly press conference mm-hmm. where they would essentially just give updates. I think part of that was because it was just almost hourly news cycle where things were getting updated so rapidly. Now, a lot of that has shifted to the Department of Public Health. They have kind of upped their game in terms of reporting out numbers multiple times a day and really kind of a constant update. So, yeah, you've seen the governor kind of back off. And I don't expect her or the public health officer to really, go back to a more stringent stay-at-home order. I don't expect that. I think just economically we can't afford it. And they've shifted to just basically saying, look, it's personal responsibility. It's all in people's hands. And that's, maybe that's where it should be. But that, at the same time, that requires us to all be responsible. And it's disappointing sometimes when, hey, I'm doing all the right things, I think. I'm washing my hands. I'm wearing a mask. I'm trying to protect everybody. But, you walk around and see some people clearly going too far in terms of not social distancing.
Well, but you do have a choice to go places or not go places. I mean, and the fact is, let's use it as an example, you're having that spike in Montgomery. That would be the tough thing to try to regulate the entire state because, I mean, you've got what's happening in Montgomery, but look at Baldwin County, where you got people coming and going all the time, and you don't have the cases. Per capita, you don't have the cases or the fatalities with it. So, I mean, out of the 67 counties, there's probably, five or six different stories or levels to talk about with the county.
I agree. And the state health officer has the authority to go specifically pick out counties and do and adjust as that goes. He's not done that yet. I've heard rumblings that Dr. Scott Harris is really frustrated because, and I would be too. Anybody would, if that's your job, to see the cases spike back up, especially here in the capital city. So hopefully, it's been in the news a lot. You see it ebbs and flows, right? I mean, once we're getting out of this mess. We're in a better place than we were. Everybody starts hanging out more and maybe relaxing. Now the news has just covered this relentlessly. It's been a little scary. So I think, maybe we'll see another downturn as far as transmissions. At least that's what I hope.
All right. I want to talk some politics. Now it's all politics, but let's talk some runoff politics as we're, I think, talk about people not paying attention to something. The fact that we have the runoffs coming up in just, 3 weeks? July 14th. I mean, it's not far off. And we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, and you have a story up at aldailynews.com. Says a super PAC is formed to help Jerry Carl in the AL1 runoff. Talk about this.
Yeah, this came out yesterday, and I mean, it was pretty big news if you think about it. Club for Growth has obviously been very involved, not just in AO1, they've been involved statewide, you know, in this cycle. I've been a little surprised, but they have gone all in for Bill Hightower. They're going to spend, at the end of the day, I've heard upwards of $700,000 on ads. And, of course, they're an outside super PAC, right? They can come in and spend independently. They don't coordinate with the Hightower campaign, right. But they can run ads supporting him, or probably more importantly, attacking Jerry Carl. And so that's a big advantage for Hightower. Well, now several local, you know, business and civic leaders have gotten together to form their own super PAC. It's called Right for Alabama PAC, and it is organized to help Jerry Carl. And specifically, they told me that it is to push back against Club for Growth. They say, hey, this group from Washington is coming in trying to buy this seat. We want to have a local voice to raise the money to, you know, put up ads and advertise and everything to push back, you know, to either go after Hightower or go after Club for Growth, or just to support Jerry Carl. So, you know, kind of some backup coming in for Carl in this race. And what's probably the most interesting, though, I mean, we don't know how much money they're going to spend. They don't have to report that for a few more weeks. But they say that they're going to raise a ton of money and you know, enough to do serious advertising. But they've already spent money on polling, and that's really important. Their polling, which, you know, I looked at it, it looked like a pretty reasonable poll. Had Jerry Carl winning the race, 43% to Hightower's 24%. In that poll, 33% were still undecided. That's a really important number.
That's high. That seems high to me.
Well, you know, I think so. I think that's a result of what you just said about people kind of not, you know, kind of tuning it out a little bit, not remembering that there's a runoff going on. That, you know, I thought the race would be a lot closer. That's a 19-point spread.
Yeah.
But what convinced me it was a probably pretty good numbers was they also pulled the Sessions-Tuberville race just in the first district in South Alabama, and they had Tuberville winning 41% to 40%. That was similar to a forestry poll that ran in the first district the other day. So that sounds about right, and that's a good control for that poll, you know?
Okay, yes, and it is. I want to take a second and come back to the poll, but explain, you know, people who don't, they'll say, oh, PACs, Political Action Committee, I get that. But PACs are, by their nature, pretty narrow, right? I mean, they'll go after somebody, they have whatever their sacred cow is. A PAC is all about this thing, and then they pick their candidates or oppose candidates based on that.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, anybody can form a super PAC, and it can be, hey, we like agriculture, or we really support this defense, you know, certain thing. So yeah, it can be for anything. Now, there are groups out there. I mean, Club for Growth is a large, very organized group that, of course, has a PAC. This other one, I mean, this is a PAC that has been created just to help Jerry Carl, is what
yes.
It sounds like. Doesn't mean they can't do other things, but I mean, they were specific. They said, we're forming a PAC to push back against Club and to help Jerry Carl. So, yeah, and pretty specific.
Yeah, and we've talked about Club for Growth through this process. They were really going after Bradley Byrne in the Senate race. They were, you know, anti-Bradley Byrne. Now, in this case, saying anti-Jerry Carl. But I think it's important when people talk about this, that you have, if you vote on a bill that has a bunch of, you know, you have to look at these bills that are crammed full of stuff, and it has good stuff for your district. Let's say you were Bradley Byrne at AO1, good stuff for your district, and you vote on it, and there's one part of that bill that they don't like, well, then you're now on their list.
Oh, yeah, and it can be really frustrating. You know, groups like that, there are other ones, plenty of them. In Washington, and they
kind of these people opposed Trump, it. Right? These people were opposed. Club for Growth opposed the candidate.
Actually, yeah, and people forget that the world was different in 2016. But yeah, Club for Growth, you know, in the name of conservatism, opposed Trump, spent millions of dollars running ads and other kind of campaign things opposing Donald Trump. So yeah, now the Carl folks and other campaigns in the state. that have seen themselves in the crosshairs of Club for Growth say, hey, remember, they didn't like Donald Trump. And that's the ultimate, you know, oh, no. But so, yeah, that's maybe not easy for them to answer.
All right. Right up against the break, coming right back, more with Todd. And we'll talk about how to get signed up for his great email weekday mornings, actually 6 days a week. I'll tell you how to do that. And, yes, we'll talk a little more state politics. And then I got to get his take on what has driven, you know, talk since this morning, really last night, these leaks coming out from the Bolton book. Remember when I told y'all I was very surprised that President Trump brought John Bolton into the mix, and I thought that probably wasn't the best decision for Donald Trump? Well, we'll talk about that with Todd when we get back. Stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. 12:36 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Dang glad to have you along. Also good to talk to my buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, which is, I mean, seriously, y'all, this is when I'm in here working on shows and I'm looking at what we call prep, preparing for the show. One of the big parts of my preparation is seeing what Todd has in headlines every day. You can get that same information in your inbox each morning. If you go, Todd, where would they go? Todd?
It's really easy. Just go to the homepage. That's aldailynews.com. But to sign up for the email, what now?
I was just laughing. We must have a delay on our signal here, so that's why I was laughing. Go ahead.
Oh, well, it's just click subscribe at the top of the page. You can enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
All right, very good. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you reboot the system because Todd's using this kind of system we use to do broadcast, not regular telephone. Todd, if you'll reboot that and hop back on, because obviously the delay has built up to where it's a little too delayed beyond reverb on that. So if you'll hang up the system and log back in, that would be good, which will give me a second to remind y'all because the pictures are coming in and they are very good here on the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Photo Contest. We launched today on National Go Fishing Day, and because a lot of us can't go fishing, it's a way to do this by picture. You got picture yourself and kids. You see, Leanna took a bunch of pictures from me. It's got about half and half grown-ups to kids in these pictures, but they could be old pictures, new pictures. But what you'll do is you'll go to fmtalk1065.com or go to, I'm sorry, facebook.com/fmtalk1065, post up your picture, fishing picture, and then each week, so Thursday to Thursday, people will vote by clicking like on the pictures, and whoever gets the most likes wins one of those FM Talk 1065 fishing team shirts. And we'll do this until we run out of shirts, so it could be a while. All right, got our buddy Todd Stacey hooked back up. I'm sorry about that. I think we just had some kind of technical malady there.
Oh, it happens.
All right, so now let's dig into it. Now, to go on here, are you surprised? You talked about $750,000 maybe in spending just coming from Club for Growth. And if you add that to with whatever this PACT and Jerry Carl ads will be, I mean, we're looking over $1 million in this Republican primary runoff.
Oh, yeah. You might get upwards of two when you put in everything that's been spent already. And the candidates themselves, those that were running previously. Yeah, I mean, which I guess it is, you know, not too surprising. It's a big seat, and whoever wins is likely to be there for a long time. I guess what's interesting, as we were mentioning about the Club for Growth, they have a habit of really wanting to go and win victories, right? They want as many of many congressmen as possible to kind of, you know, owe them a little bit, or at least be grateful to them when they get into Congress, and sort of
and they
the
would
stats.
Do what? And they would do what to repay the favor to the Godfather?
Well, they do have a lobbying side. They have an agenda side that they want to support or oppose certain agenda items. And yeah, if somebody has, you know, spent almost $1 million on your race, you're at least going to open the door to their agenda and be open to that. So, but they really like to notch victories. So it's not just Alabama; they're all around the country engaged in winnable House districts. They're in the second district right next door. They've endorsed Barry Moore in that race. So, really, and of course, Tommy Tuberville. So they're really engaged in Alabama this cycle. But it is interesting to see some group form to push back. So I wrote yesterday that this race is really heating up. I think by the time it's all said and done, this might be one of the hottest races in the country in terms of, maybe even down to the finish, tons of ads flying around, tons of money flying around with two candidates that are pretty close.
Really? You think national attention due on this?
Well, insofar as national folks pay attention to individual congressional races, right? I mean, anytime that there's a really heated race and it's Club for Growth versus some other group that's pushing back against them, that becomes really interesting for Capitol Hill types. So maybe not, it's not going to make CNN or anything, but the Capitol Hill crowd really gets excited when these kind of contests show up. And I'll say the same for the second district. You've got a similar dynamic there. And so, Alabama's two open seats are really becoming a lot more interesting than maybe they were in the original primaries.
All right. Let's talk a bit about what could happen between now and the 14th, and that is talk about the Washington angle. What about the White House and President Trump? The rumor mill had it that President Trump was coming back to Mobile and was going to do a campaign event for Tommy Tuberville. That seems to be in question now. I don't know if it might still happen, but it leaves me scratching my head if it is.
I think it's still going to happen because they could always cancel. It may be good sense to cancel. Honestly, Sean, if it was me and I was, because he's doing this for Tuberville, right?
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's doing this against Sessions.
Well, yes.
Put me on record. Go put me over, quote me there at aldailynews.com.
That's right. Well, it's very clear what the president's intentions are here. So, but if you really, really want to hurt Sessions and help Tuberville, I wouldn't go to Mobile. I would go to Huntsville. We know that people are going to be voting in Mobile and in the second district too because of these active races. But Sessions does well in Mobile.
Yes, he
does.
Don't
necessarily want to increase turnout down there. What you want to do, Tuberville did a lot better in North Alabama, especially some of those, Huntsville, these North Alabama counties. Go back to Huntsville, go to Madison, somewhere like that. And increased turnout there for Tuberville. I think I understand the symbolism and how he, and given his true intentions and how he wants to hurt Sessions, but just political sense wise, it'd be smarter to go to Huntsville.
All right. On the flip side of this too, so Michael on the text line says, Sean, can you ask Todd why no one is talking about Tuberville's real estate wrongdoings? Thanks. It was discussed earlier this week on the show, but this discussion of these funds that Tuberville and others involved in.
Well, we had some information that came to us, and I think it was from the Tuberville campaign. All this oppo gets passed around, and he was involved in some real estate. Organizations, some companies, maybe a holding company that. Maybe it wasn't the best run organization in the world, and you could have been, could have been called a Ponzi scheme sort of situation. Got sued, and because he was on the documents and a part of this company, it's not like he was running it, but because he was a part of this company, he was a part of that lawsuit. I think they settled, but the details of that settlement are not public. We've actually been trying to get them, but I think there could be some more coming out about that. I'll just tell you, to me, I don't think it didn't come off to me as like nefarious or anything like that. It doesn't sound like he's a bad person because he was involved in this. It sounds like a company that wasn't run right, and he had his name on the documents. But it should be out there because what's going to happen in October or September is information just like this is going to come out, and the Democrats are going to use it as, you know, hey, calling him the, you know, worst person in the world, the media is going to blow it up like crazy. So if I was, you know, in the interest of the campaign, even if I was Tuberville, I would want it out there so that that can't happen. So
yeah,
they
clear
can't try to Roy Moore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So but that
see,
they can't
not,
try
but,
to do that.
Okay. And you mentioned Roy Moore. This is what I said to Quinn Hillier when he talked about it earlier in the week. I don't think, you know, and I've not watched politics for more than four decades now, but in the four decades, to me, unless it's just straight stealing that you can show, you know, straight like paper bag full of money corruption or something to do with sex, it doesn't seem to resonate. You get things like this and they come up, and I don't think it's ever changed the election outcome. Something that is like this, whether you think there's wrongdoing there or not. Let's say you did think there was wrongdoing in this, and you're going to say, well, he should, you know, he was not good at this. He couldn't run this side of this investment operation, so he's not fit. I don't think that resonates when people go to the polls.
That's probably right, and I just don't think there's a real smoking gun here. If there was, there would be an ad on TV about it right now.
Yep.
But again, what doesn't appear to be that big a deal right now will look like, you know, bloody murder in September when the Washington Post gets a hold of it. So, we should probably do some deeper digging and get the full story out there, really for the benefit of everybody. Again, when I came into this information, which was months ago, I didn't see it as nefarious at all. It sounded like just a bad business deal that he was caught up in. But, you know, let's report it and let the people decide.
Very good. Okay. And then you mentioned the next part of this. I know that we're all focused, well, some of us are focused on July 14th and the runoff out there for the Republican side. There's a runoff for the Democrats in AL1, of course, a Republican runoff in the Senate. But there will be a general here, and let's talk about that. Incumbent Doug Jones versus either Tuberville or Sessions.
You mean, what do I think is going to be the likely matchup, or who
well,
do
no,
I
no, no, no. Do I
in?
Think? I mean, pick one. Yeah, either of them. You know, I've been saying it doesn't matter who it is; they both will handily beat Doug Jones. But we did see, and I know it was a different time back then, but some big outside forces come to the state of Alabama in support of Doug Jones. Yeah, Democrats all rallied to Alabama.
Yeah, and I'm not sure you're going to see that this time. And here's the reason why. Last 2017, there was nothing else going on. Alabama was the only game in town. So we got the entire focus of not just the Democratic Party, but all of their apparatus, all of the tentacles, focusing their firepower on Alabama. This is a presidential election year. There is the White House at stake. There are multiple Senate races in play right now. And of all of them, this is the least likely bet. If I was the Democratic Party, if I was a donor, I would be looking at Colorado. I would be looking at Arizona, Michigan, even Iowa, even Georgia before I looked at Alabama. So I don't think you're going to have quite as much of that as you did last time. But in terms of Tuberville and Sessions, I mean, look, Tuberville's clearly winning and is at this point likely to win unless something happens. But, you know, the reason he's a little bit more of a risky choice for Republicans is there's just a lot unknown. It's a little bit of a wild card. There could be stuff out there that we haven't dug up. I don't think there's anything crazy like Roy Moore. I mean, Roy Moore is a singular case, if there ever was one. But you never know. And so, whereas Sessions, we know everything about him. There's nothing we don't know about Jeff Sessions, love him, hate him, or indifferent. And so, you know, I think it's pretty likely that a Republican can handily beat Doug Jones. But you know there's going to be wild cards that come out. They're going to pull out all the stops to help him win. And it just so, I mean, Tuberville is probably, it would probably beat him handily. But the difference in the candidates is there are things about Tuberville we don't know because he hasn't been in the spotlight for politics for very long at all.
Holy cow, we about ran out of time. But like the one, I do just, your 90-second reaction to what we've heard leaked out from the Bolton book. That may come out later this month.
I mean, it's the circus that we all expected. When John Bolton got fired and, you know, he got crossways with Trump, we knew he was going to write a book and was going to have some, you know, pretty good dirt. Now, you go read it and decide for yourself whether you think it's truthful or not. I always think there's a little gray area there. I also don't think Bolton's a liar. But really interesting information. I'm going to read it because I can't help it, but it's really stirred Washington into a frothy boil today.
As always, I appreciate your time. Once again, the website where people can sign up for your email.
aldailynews.com, and click subscribe at the top. It's free, no cost at all, but we'd be glad to have you as a subscriber.
As always, a pleasure, man. Keep them straight up there in Montgomery.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, Todd Stacy, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. All right, coming right back. Some more stuff I got to get off my chest here. And before we make way for Cam Marston and What's Working Special Edition. Plus, I look up and my man, Jeff Bohr, is not in the studio, but he's in the lobby here at Big Bear Broadcasting. So who knows what could break out. All right, news, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, big thank you, Todd Stacy, Alabama Daily News. Always good talking with him and get him on probably more than once a week, just like our buddy Jeff Bohr and others between now and July 14th. I know it's a very strange time to be talking about voting, but we've got the runoffs coming up next month. All right, check in with my buddy Angelo as well at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And let's talk. We're always talking about coming in and the great stuff y'all have for us to buy, but y'all buy stuff yourself.
We certainly do. If you've got a coin collection, maybe a jewelry collection, some stuff that somebody left you from the family, and you know it's worth some money, not sure what to do with it, you can bring those items down here to Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We'll sort through them, organize them, evaluate and appraise them, and make you a fair offer on those. Whether you want to sell those or whether you're just trying to find out what those items are really worth, we're here to help you do that.
And you've talked about this before, too, for the jewelry aficionados. People are buying even for themselves. They come in with pieces they don't wear anymore or one side of an earring set or whatever. They do that and they get great money there and then turn around and get a great deal on something brand new jewelry-wise at the store.
Yeah, we've had a lot of folks come in and do exactly that. They'll come in with a broken piece of jewelry, maybe a herringbone chain that A, is broken, and B, it's so dated you're never going to wear that thing again. Turn that in, sell that to us here at Mobile Bay Coins, and then take that money you just earned and look around and maybe do some shopping, whether it's for Father's Day, whether it's for yourself, or maybe you want to invest in some gold and silver bullion. We've got lots of stuff here for you to look at.
Okay. Tell folks who have not been there before, let's change that. How do they find you?
We're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can always check us out online, mobilebaycoins.com. And if you want to see some of the cool stuff as it comes in, like and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram.
All right, will do. Thank you, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. So many texts coming in here. A couple on this, the PAC ads and the Club for Growth. Jace says those Club for Growth ads are disgusting to the point of making me vote for whoever the campaign is against. Again, that happens in political, like mudslinging. There's some percentage. They still mudsling because the studies have shown that it works. But there are people, thinkers, people that react differently to that will go contrary because of it. Jace is pointing that out. Of course, Chester texted in and said, I joined the Club for Growth thinking it was a male enhancement support group. So there's a different reaction to that as well. So these things are out there. And a quick reminder over on our Facebook page, we got our fishing photo contest coming, just getting populated now with your pictures. Make sure you get your friends to like those pictures, the one with the most likes. As of next Thursday, we'll win one of the FM Talk 106.5 fishing team dry fit shirts with the speckled trout and the red snapper on there. Check them out. As we got about 20 seconds left. Our buddy Cam Marston in studio getting ready for What's Working.
That's right. Got a good show planned today. Going to announce a couple things that we got upcoming, and I'm really excited about today's guest. I resurrected an old friend of mine back from the past. He's on the Eastern Seaboard. He teaches team building in a very unorthodox way, and he's got the 8 lessons for team building. If you're a team captain, if you're a coach, if you're a leader in your workplace, this one's right up your alley.
You talk about unorthodox, you're in the right place.
Yes.
What's Working Special Edition with Cam Marston next.